Hey, y'all, it's Jared from the Rockstar Dad Show. Coming up on this week's program, Michael Sweet from Metal Legends, Striper. That's right, we got Striper. That's this week on the Rockstar Dad Show.
This is a song for my friends Jared and Gary. They started a podcast and said a theme was necessary. They're just a couple of guys in a band that you know. Some rock star dads who started a show. So here's the next episode.
Oh man, that's so loud. It's so loud. I gotta adjust the volume. I finally did it, Gary. Welcome to the Rockstar Dad Show, by the way. I'm Jarrett, and Gary is here. We're from the band Bowling for Soup, but this is our show that we do. And Gary,
The new fun intro.
I finally did it. I had Linus of Hollywood make us two.
Oh.
Look at it. Listen to him go.
So it's like A Day and B Day.
Yeah. All right, you wanna hear the
Did you
other
have
one?
That? I'm guessing in high school you didn't have that. They started that when I was in high school, the A day and the B day.
Yeah, we didn't have that. In fact, they had that is really weird. They call it block day when my kids were in high school.
Yeah, and block scheduling or whatever.
Yeah, so essentially you have like all your classes are like an hour and a half long. And then the next day, you have, I guess, all your specials are included and all that shit. And essentially, I don't know. I think it's ever-changing. I didn't have that, though, that revolving schedule thing.
They switched to it whenever I was in high school. So I think my freshman year was just like normal school. And then the last 3 years, they switched to A day, B day. You have four classes a day. It wasn't necessarily specials. It was just random, right? But I actually enjoyed that because it gave you more time to finish up homework, right? Yeah, 2 days for each class or whatever. But I was talking to my sister the other day about this because our town is just switching over to that for the high school, and everyone's all up in arms about it. But everyone's all up in arms about everything all the time.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But I was telling her whenever they switched to it for high school, I really enjoyed that. But for like years after I was out of high school, well into my 20s, I would have reoccurring dreams, not nightmares, but like bad anxiety, panicky dreams where it was like the first day of school after spring break or the first day of school after Christmas break. And I was like, which day is it? What schedule am I on? Where do I go to class? And that was weird.
Man, Gary, I'm 51 years old and I'm not joking about this. Like I still have this dream. There's two or three different ones that I have, but the main one is I have it all the time. It's in different contexts, but it's basically that it's the second semester of a year, and I just didn't go to band the whole year. And like so there's a performance and I'm just walking into it or whatever. And like everybody just is like, "Oh, hey man, you know, there he is." And like, "Where have you been?" And I'm just, you know. And then the other one I have is I don't know where my locker is. And And I'm in this school, and it's just me wandering these halls trying to finally, the third one is I've skipped the first class. Oh, no, I have four. Okay, this is fucking true. By the way, I fucking hate hearing about people's dreams, so I apologize if you're listening to this podcast right now, because my wife will even tell you, she'll just go, "Do you want to hear about my dream?" And I'll go, "No, I really don't, because, you know, I don't really need to hear about you pick flowers that were made of Reese's peanut butter cups and they give you blisters." You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I think like going, "Hey, I have this reoccurring dream where I don't know what class I'm supposed to go to." Everyone can kind of relate to that. Like that makes sense. But most of the time when people are talking about their dreams, it's just insane. It's like, "Well, I was in my bedroom, but my bedroom wasn't my bedroom. It was the moon. And it totally made sense." You know?
But then they keep adding shit. "Well, wait, hold on. No, hold on. But that was before. And then earlier you were there. Wait a minute. It wasn't you. Okay. Yeah. Hold on." You know, and it's just, but the fourth one that I have, and again, I have these, I'm not joking. I have these all the time. I have one of them at least once a week. The other one is that I had to go back to another year of high school to pass history. So I'm in my fifth year of high school, but I haven't gone to history class. And it's like the end of the year, and it's me like trying to navigate that whole thing. But I still live at home, you know, like my, and then, you know, but it's bizarre. Like it's weird. And I think that goes to show it, you know what? I think it is why you don't have them anymore, because you've talked about this before. Like you didn't have like school spirit.
No,
you know, you were there to like do your shit and get the hell out of there, you know? And I was, I tried to act like I didn't, but I did, you know, like I was really into band and like, yeah. And I tried to act like I was, yeah, this is fucking bullshit, but I cared, you know, like yeah. I really did. And, you know, and obviously in our songs, high school comes up quite a bit. And, so it's a big time in my life. And so I just assume, and plus, you know how my memory is. Like I remember the kids that are, I remember every kid that was in every class I ever had. Like you, and I remember where I sat.
Yeah, I don't remember every single thing like that, but you know, there's a lot. You know, that's just such a formative time. There's so yeah. much development and events and everything that just happens that becomes so important.
I got to tell you something that's been going on with the show since we did the intro to the show about with our new music bed. So thanks, Linus of Hollywood, for. Y'all go check his band out. His new band's called Able Machines, and it's him and a girl named Tay, and it's kind of hard to put your finger on what kind of music it is, but it's very cool to listen to. Like, I don't know, you feel kind of
it's just cool music. Is that a new genre?
Yeah, you just feel kind of hip, you know, like when you're listening to it, you know, like you know. Like, we have a song that we put out, Gary, 10 years ago. I know you don't know the words to any of our songs, but we have a song that came out 10 years ago where I go, I never was the hip kid. I always used words like hip, and I just used the word hip, and I fucking have never used the word hip in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I've used it like as a joke, but that's about it.
Yeah, go check out Able Machines. They're really great, actually. And their videos are super cool, and they're like super self-contained. They make all their own videos. You know, Linus got into photography. If you guys don't know who Linus is sort of like the fifth Bowling for Soup. He's produced all of our records since 2009, it co-writes a lot of our stuff, and just a great friend of ours. And anyway, he made these musical beds for us. But the other thing that I was going to talk about is now that we're on video, which by the way, guys, we're on YouTube. Even if you don't watch us on YouTube, just go over there and give us a like and a comment. And, you know, like just, we got to get our numbers up, subscribe, you know?
Yeah.
But we're on YouTube now. And I think our episodes show on Facebook, but I'm not positive that that's a thing.
Here's the deal. It shows on there, but you know how the algorithms work. It's I don't understand it all, but it probably just doesn't show anywhere.
It doesn't show any. Nobody sees it.
You got to go look for it.
You got to get on there and go look for it. Anyway, so, you know, I've been, since we got to video, I have to remember to press record on the Pro Tools thing, which records our audio, right? But I also have to remember to press record on here, on our video thing, which was how we see one another since COVID, right? And man, do I forget a lot. I mean, but I did yesterday, and you guys won't see or hear this episode for, I guess like a month and a half, because we have so many interviews blocked up right now, but yesterday we were doing like a really good interview, and it's funny because it kind of started slow, I thought, and then it picked up steam and we really hit it off with this guy. And I did not hit record on the video until we were a solid 15 minutes in.
I saw that happen and I was like, crap, I just need to start reminding you at the beginning.
I know. And it maybe, and you know, I've thought about like putting something like a reminder in here, but there's so much shit in my studio. I think it would just become this thing that I see. You know, it just would be one more thing.
Well, you know, in the well-polished machine that everything we do, as it seems, it's not really like that. A lot of the times we're like, okay, let's start at 11. Ah, shit, let's make it 11:30. How's 11:45? And then we get in here and it's like, well, I got to go quick. And so we need just a checklist to get.
That's 100% me too. You're the most patient person with me, and I guess you just have known me for so long, but like, and I think you know too that I don't do it on purpose, and I'm not malicious about it, but like I'm late to shit and I'm not proud of it. I don't think it's funny. I really don't. Like I'm like, but it's just always something, you know, I like we're supposed to start at 11 today, but I didn't get the text back from you. And then I was like, well, shit, I'm going to go take a shower. And then by the time you were like, oh yeah, I can do 11. I was like, well, I'm already naked. And I really should wash the
We're on video now. You can't just do it naked. Know,
right? Yeah. Anyway, but you're right. To find this Michael Sweet, by the way, coming up later in the show, Michael Sweet from Striper. This is a huge episode for us. But to dig this up, because we've done like 9 interviews and we haven't finished the shows yet, I don't really have a system. Like, he was easy once I figured out, oh, you just did a file and saved it under Michael Sweet's name, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes we'll have 3 interviews in a day, and I'll just put it on the date, and I'll go, I'll remember.
So it's basically like it's the digital form of like whether it be your keys or your wallet or like some trinket. It's like, I'm going to set this here, and I'll not forget it. And then later, like, where the fuck did I put that?
I know. It's so weird. Thank God for these air tags that they've got now. I've got air tags on my wallet and my keys. And like, if I drive away from, which I don't carry a wallet anymore because my, you know, like my main stuff is on in my phone. So, I don't mean in my phone. I mean, I have an attachment that has my license and like my main Bowling for Soup and my personal credit card. Right. So I don't need to carry a wallet, but when I drive away from my wallet will go, hey, you forgot me.
Yeah.
And which is really nice of it to just let me know, you know, that, hey, I'm going to hang back here and you go on with whatever the fuck it is you're doing.
Did you switch up your wallet? Because I would love to have an AirTag on my wallet, but I've got the Ridge wallet. We're talking about a lot of products that we use that are not sponsors, by the way.
I know. I sent you that link, buddy. I sent you that link a long time ago. I'm going to resend it to you. But it's a combination Ridge style wallet, and it holds cash, and it has the AirTag thing. It's the single most greatest wallet of all time. But you know what I'm not going to do? Plug it on this show. No, actually I am, but I'm saving it for Father's Day.
There you go. Upcoming episode.
Yeah, we probably should do that next week, actually, and I'll figure out what the brand is, but because we probably should pre-tape that so that everybody knows what to get their dads.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some stuff. Actually, I got something I want to talk about, but I can't remember what it is. And later on in the show, Michael Sweet from the band Striper. Oh, man, it's going to be a good one. Y'all hang out and listen to this. Welcome back to the Rockstar Dad Show. Don't forget, we're on Adobe Radio every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then on Wednesdays, wherever you listen to your podcast, we'll be right there. If you subscribe, it just comes right into your phone. You get a little alert. And it just goes, hey, there's a new Rockstar Dad Show. You can come spend some time with Jarrett and Gary. And they will make you laugh. And you don't even have to be a dad to listen to the show, because half the time they don't fucking talk about being dads anymore.
Yeah, I mean, in the previous segment, we all just talked about losing stuff and digitally losing. You need those alerts.
You got to have alerts. You're going to have them. Bowling for Soup is going on tour, and the dates are announced and on sale. We are, first of all, coming up, heading over to Europe. It's interesting because we started saying Europe a long time ago, but we quit going to Europe. We would just go over to the UK, you know, but we're actually going to Europe this time. We're going to, we are going to the UK, which is not, I guess it's still part of the continent of Europe, but it's not a Euro situation because of this.
It's closer to Europe than Texas. So, you know, it's over there.
Man, I saw so many memes, Gary, of the king and of the new king and queen. And I have so many comments and so many hilarious things to say and all that, but I can't because I don't want to piss off half our demographic.
Are you really into the whole coronation thing that just happened?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No.
At our show the other night, someone started talking to me about it. I was like, What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I saw a picture, the official picture of the king and queen, and I swear on a stack of Bibles, when I first saw it, I thought it was the queen that just died and the current queen standing there together. I really did. And like when you see this picture I'm talking about, you're probably going to go, okay, I see it now. But anyway, I'm glad, I'm happy for them and all that. We're going to the UK. We're going to Germany for two shows, independent shows. Slam Dunk Festival in the UK. We're going to Germany for a couple of shows, and then we're doing Slam Dunk in Italy, and then we're going to the SBAM Festival for our very first time in Austria. That's going to be great. But I think most of you that listen to this show are in the United States, and you would be happy to know we're coming to a town near you in the fall. So go to bowlingforsoup.com, the brand new and improved bowlingforsoup.com, right there. All of our music is on there, all of our videos. You can find out where we're going to be. You can buy our stuff. You can see pictures of us. There's so much to do.
Well, and the tour dates for the U.S. are in the fall, so it's far enough in advance you can make plans.
Yeah, that's right. So if we're not coming to the city that's right down the street from you, or your city, you can. I saw a meme the other day that said, "God, I'm into these memes, I guess," but it just said, "The band you love can drive 6 hours to come to your city and play. You can drive 30 minutes to go see them."
What a wonderful point.
I agree. I was just like, yeah, fucking makes sense. Plus, we live in Texas. I mean, how many times did you drive to Austin to go see a show? It's 4 hours to go see a show.
You know, we started this segment off talking about alerts, and I would just implore everyone, if there's any band out there, hopefully it's ours, but if there's another band out there that you would be upset about missing their tour date, go get on some kind of page or email list or something where you're getting their notifications, because I can't tell you how many times all of us in BFS get texts, get messages, get Facebook messages, get all sorts of stuff going, when are you coming to Chicago? And we're like, we were there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, it happened on this tour. We just played Amarillo, Dallas, and New Braunfels, which is down just a little south of Austin. And in between, kind of like in between Austin and San Antonio, and I can't tell you how many messages I saw or comments are just like, come back to Texas. It's just not the same since you went away. Or, you know, when are you going to play Fort Worth? And I'm like, we were literally just 25 minutes away from you the other day. Yep. But, you know, it's so easy with Bowling for Soup, Gary. You just go to the website, and the first thing that comes up, it says, hey, put in your email list, and you can be a part of the winning team. And while we're on the subject of that, you could also go and leave a good review of this podcast when you subscribe to it as well. Gosh, that's a lot of advertising we just did.
We're sponsoring our own show today.
We really are. Today's show is brought to you by me and Gary.
Yay.
And all of our endeavors. You know what I like is that Bands in Town. That thing is cool.
I used to be all over that thing, and then I became a parent and stopped going to shows so much and kind of got out of the swing of paying attention to that. But that's a great one.
You're so right, though. It's like it does come up and go, hey, such and such is going to be in town. And I'm like, yeah, hey.
But I mean, at least that way, like whenever you're in the pool and people come over and they're like, hey, did you see so-and-so's coming? Oh, yeah, I saw their coming.
Totally,
I'm in the know.
Well, it's funny that actually came up that came up the other day. People were like, our friend Mark was like, hey, did you see, we started talking about Sum 41. We'll talk about their situation and then them calling it quits on a different episode because we don't have time today. But Sum 41, Simple Plan, and Offspring are touring, you know, the world, basically. They've already kind of done a bunch of stuff, and then they've got a bunch of stuff coming up. And he was like, oh, you know they're coming to Dallas. And I go, yep. I dropped a line to all three bands and said, hey, glad you guys are coming to Dallas. I hope you have a fantastic time. I will not be seeing you at the outdoor venue in the middle of August here in Dallas, Texas. And I told him, I go, even if you say I can just wait in the dressing room while you go play, I'm still not coming.
I don't understand this. I mean, I know that they live all over the place now, but they're from Canada, right?
Yeah, like, totally.
It makes so much sense to me to go, we're going to tour Canada in the summer.
Yeah.
And then we'll go play Texas in November.
Don't you wish it worked like that, though? You know, like, don't you wish that just, like, you could go, all right, in the wintertime, we're going to hit Arizona and Florida, you know? But unfortunately, just economics and logistics don't work that way. So you always end up in Detroit in the dead of winter and in Orlando in the most humid-ass fucking day of the year. It just kind of always happens that way. Well, and also summer is when people go to concerts here.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the other thing. I that whole Jamie Lee Curtis thing that happened. Did we talk about that? Where she goes, I just think bands should play earlier. You know, like I think bands should play at 4 o'clock because I'm old and I want to go see Coldplay. And I'm like, I wish life was that easy. Like Coldplay are only going to play on Saturdays and Sundays now. Cause who the fuck can go to a show at 4 o'clock on a Monday? You know? Right.
Yeah. We got kids in school and people got work.
Right.
And that's just not going to happen.
Right. So I put that, I actually made that comment on one of the threads because sometimes I just can't keep my mouth shut. And I'm just like, unfortunately, logistics and, you know, and economics don't fucking work that way.
Also, you know, if you're going to go see a show at 4 o'clock, you got to start drinking at one and then you're just going to feel bad about yourself.
I know. And it, well, there is one aspect to this, though, is that if you are, if you did go home and go to bed after the show, you probably wouldn't be as hungover the next day. But I have a feeling it would just continue.
Yeah, because then you're going to karaoke after Coldplay.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the whole thing of just people making comments. I guess it's only personal to me because this is what we do. But, you know, when people are like, why don't y'all do this? Or why don't y'all do this? Or why aren't you at this place when you're supposed to be at this place? And blah, 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 blah. And it's like, man, never in my life have I fucking, I cannot think of one time where I've told somebody else how to do their fucking job. Well, I guess that's not true. I complain about the trash cans.
I think there's like a, I don't know if it's a generational phenomenon. Maybe it's an American, I don't know what it is. There's something going on though, but hear me out here. There's something going on where things just work the way they work, right? And the reason that they work the way that they work is because people have trialed and erred and figured it out to where you get to, this is just how things work.
Yeah.
And that's not being, I'm not saying that to be like, there's no way to improve things or you shouldn't change things, but you should leave the change and the improvement to people that know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah. You know what? When you said that fucking, it just hit me. It just hit me why Jamie Lee Curtis's whole fucking thing is bullshit, right? You ever want to go see a movie and the movie is sold out, right?
Yeah.
When can you go see that movie and be in there all by yourself?
About 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday, right? It's because the reason that all shows before 5 are called matinees and cheaper, nobody fucking goes, right? Yeah. So that's the point. People do things at night. That same movie that you're going to go see at 1 o'clock is sold out for 2 weeks at night. But hey, if you want to take the day off, or take a long lunch and go see it over there. But it's, you know, oh God, it frustrates me to the bone. Because people got behind it, right? People were like, well, I don't have kids. People commented on my comment. Well, I don't have kids.
Sure.
Why can't they blubber-dunk-a-dunk? Well, guess what? Fucking most people who are active in the world have either a job or kids.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, bands can go from playing, you know, the Texas Stadium, you know, and the show starts at 9, or they can go play your local bar at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're just a fucking matinee. Coldplay will be over at Steak and Ale today. And, you know, like fucking doing an acoustic set for all of you who don't want to stay up late, you know? Plus, Jesus Christ, Jamie Lee Curtis with this fucking thing. By the way, I don't have anything against Jamie Lee Curtis. I think she's a fine actress and I love the fact that we're in Freaky Friday, and I think her husband is a goddamn genius. But it's not like she's going to be in the crowd, you know? Like, she could fucking take a nap in her limo and then walk side stage, watch the show with all the other really fucking famous people, you know? Oh, man. Oh, God. Speaking of famous people, we got Michael Sweet from the band Striper coming up. Now, I got a head start into this, and I tried not to overdo it. But I, wait a minute. What did I end up doing first? Did I do the trivia thing before I did this?
Yeah, you did trivia before the.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to host Striper trivia, which was really fun. We basically, our good friend of the show, Eric Dillow, who was my co-host on Jarrett Goes to the Movies, he and I put together a trivia night for their Patreon fans, and it was really fun. We had a great time. Got to meet the whole band, which was really cool for me, having been a fan since 87 or so, but a big fan, like 88 and 89. So anyway, Michael Sweet from the band Striper is coming up. He's going to talk about being a dad, being a grandpa, Striper stuff, lots of music, lots of stuff that you might not have known as far as like them being around all the LA bands and all of that stuff. So y'all hang out and listen to this interview that we did with Michael Sweet from the band Striper. This is the Rockstar Dad Show. Y'all listen to this. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Rockstar Dad Show. And I have to say that this it's my favorite guest we've ever had. And we haven't even had him yet.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to just intro Michael Sweet by saying that I once got sent home from high school walking out to the marching band field. And the band director from the top of the thing with his megaphone just goes, "Reddick, what does your shirt say?" And I just yell up. I go, "To hell with the devil." And he goes, "Just go back to the office. Just go straight to the office and you guys figure this out." And I'm up there going like, this is a Christian band. We're in Wichita Falls, Texas. Like, why am I? This is what you guys want me to wear. You know, Michael Sweet, welcome to the show, man.
Hey guys, it's great to finally be here talking to you guys. We've talked for quite a while doing something, and here I am, and thanks for having me. It's an honor. And yeah, because you had that hell, that word hell on your shirt is probably why they told you to go home and change your shirt.
They did, yeah. But you know, it's funny, I got sent home also for Talk Dirty to Me, and also the Metal Up Your Ass. Which that one I deserved, you know.
You kind of get that one, right?
Yeah, that one. I feel like okay. This one now I'm just being a little shit, you know, at this point. But
now it's anything goes, man. You pretty much wear whatever you want to wear to any school in America, and you're not going to get sent home for the most part.
Striper, you guys came up at a time and gained success at a time where you guys are you're pioneers. You are, it's unreal what you were able to accomplish in the time of the mid 80s, where you know there's the free speech stuff all happening. So you've got all this. This over here is devil worship, and this over here is bad. You know, this is misogynistic, and this is this, and this is this, and you came up just going, look, we're just going to be this wholesome band that sings this, you know, we're going to sing about a good message, but we're going to rock. And I'll never forget this. Jason Bias and his friend, who I can't remember his name, in the seventh grade, came home from the show that you guys played in Dallas, Texas at Six Flags, and both of them had adult shirts on that were way too big for them, and they were both had Bibles that they caught at the show. And I was like, that's the freaking coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. And all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, after that, To Hell With The Devil album comes out, and you guys are on the top five at five with Calling On You, like right by Whitney Houston. And what a ride that must have been, from going to sort of like having to prove yourselves just because you're Christians and singing about it, to literally being one of the biggest bands on the planet.
It was definitely interesting, very interesting times. I mean, it's something we never would have imagined. I mean, we set out in 83 when we were still Rock's Regime, and we dedicated the band to God and our lives to Christ. And we decided, like, you know, we're going to do something different. It was something that I decided, and then I presented it to the band, and then they all decided with me. We made that choice together. But we knew that it was going to be tough. We knew it wasn't going to be an easy road, and it has not been. It still is not. Right. It never has been, and that's okay. It's to be expected. Christianity is something that, for whatever reason in this world, is kind of the center of the joke. And, you know, it always has been. It was then, it is now. And people might argue and say, oh, come on, man. But it's true. I mean, how often do you turn on a series, or you're watching a movie, and whenever there's a Christian that's represented, they're always some goofball, you know?
Yeah.
Or some whack job, fanatical whack job.
Sure. It's never fanatical.
Just a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
It's always something wacky about them. So that's what I'm referring to. Yeah. So we knew that's the world we're in, and that's the world we're gonna go after and try to present this message. And we took a different road than the Motley Crues and the Rats and all these other bands of the 80s. And I think that's what made it special and very unique, and still does.
Yeah. I mean, I guess an interesting question just for me before we get into, you know, becoming a dad and a grandfather and that. I mean, were those guys your peers? I mean, you were in the same magazines. Did you know Rat and, you know, those guys?
Yeah. I mean, we were a house band with Rat. They came out to L.A. They were Mickey Rat at the time,
mm-hmm.
and then changed their name to Rat. And this is back when, you know, I got to sit there and hang out side stage at Gazzari's when Jakey Lee was in Rat.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, special times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there, just in the right place at the right time. And I was young, you know, I was, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. And Steven and I, they'd take a break and I'd take a break. And Steven and I would go out and smoke a Sherman together and have a Jack and Coke and hang out and talk shop. So we go way back.
Yeah.
We grew up, came up on the scene together.
You're one of the only guys that wasn't in the band London.
Yeah, that might be true. My gosh.
That was the revolving door of like guys that, I mean, everybody was in that band, man.
It might have been true.
Such an interesting time.
As you know, Rick Fox, I hung out with Rick and did a lot of stuff with him. And I mean, it's crazy because it was such a special time where you could go and see Rock's Regime and Rat at Gazzari's, walk down the street to the Whiskey, and you could see Motley Crue,
mm-hmm.
and then walk down to Heaney and go to the Troubadour, and you could see Wasp.
And you guys, so being in that world of the Sunset Strip and all of that, and it was at that time when you guys became Striper, decided to dedicate your lives to Christ, and did you stay in it there? Like, and you were playing those same clubs?
Well, what it was is I became a Christian when I was 12 and went to church for a brief period of time. We became Christians through Jimmy Swaggart, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And then I got into playing clubs when I was like 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
And then every weekend playing clubs till the age of 20. And when we signed a record, a contract. And from that time period, 13 to 20, playing, I got into a bunch of other stuff, sex, drugs, mm-hmm. and rock and roll, whatever else you want to put with it. Sure. And then I started thinking about God again through friends talking to me about God and sharing with me. And I started wanting to change my life. Here, my little thing's falling here. I'm going to fix it. I started wanting to work on my life and get my life in order. And I rededicated my life to God, started rewriting all the lyrics, and just made that decision. I said, I'm doing this.
Interesting. So taking existing songs and changing, you know, at least the message, as you would say, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, loud and clear, you know?
Yeah.
It was about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and I just rewrote all the lyrics, and I did
it on the spot.
And I showed it to Robert and Oz. And I remember at the time, for a brief period, I was really gung-ho about changing things, and they weren't as excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It took them just a little moment in time. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we were all on the same page. Then we found Tim, who left Stormer because he rededicated his life to Christ.
Interesting. Yeah.
And it just worked out, you know?
Did you already have a record deal? And did you have to go to the label and say, hey, we're changing the scope of this band. This is the way that it is.
We did not have a record deal yet. Okay. We had done demos for years under the name Rox Regime and shopped for years. It wasn't an overnight success. You know, it was one of those things where we worked really hard for a long time. And then once we became, we found Tim, we were still Rox Regime, changing all the lyrics. We did a showcase for Enigma Records. They came and heard us. They loved us, but apparently the sound was too loud for them to decipher or understand any lyric. And once we turned in the lyrics, they wanted to sign us. We turned in the lyrics. They said, wait a minute here. What is it? You know, you guys are singing about Jesus? Right. What?
Yes.
And they actually thought about not signing us, not taking us on.
Did you find yourself in a weird position of having kind of to defend yourself from both sides, like the music industry going, these guys are singing about Jesus, you know, booking agents and management and record labels going, what the hell's going on here? But then like fan base and parents and this and that going, well, heavy metal's devil music. Like, did y'all find yourself in a weird position there?
Oh yeah. We came up against many obstacles and hurdles to get over. And we've done so fairly well over the years, but it's still a struggle.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, we go play. We just played in Mexico, two shows in Mexico with Pantera and Merciful Fate and Judas Priest. And, I'm backstage thinking to myself, that thought's going through my mind still to this day, like, oh, crap. Like, how's this going to go down?
Right. Yeah.
The unknown.
Yeah. Right.
Like, are we going to get devoured by the crowd? Are they going to boo us? Are they going to throw things at us? Because that's happened. Or are they going to like us? And thank God, 9 times out of 10, they like us.
Well, I think once you guys get out there, I mean, you know, for those who have never seen you guys play, I mean, you shred as good as anybody, I think, in metal. I mean, I realize that's a lot to put on you, but like, you're an insane guitar player. And I don't think a lot of people even know that, because even from the big videos, I was actually just watching the other day. I was watching, I think it was Calling on You. And because I was watching some Robert stuff, because I'm going to do a trivia thing with Striper and their fans here in the next week or two. And I have a couple of questions for Robert, because I grew up as a drummer and I stole a bunch of stuff from him. And not literally, but you know. Anyway, so I was watching Calling on, and then that's what I had remembered was a lot of that, you know, on the videos, because it made it for a better visual for you to just have the mic. And then when I saw you guys live, I'm just like, whoa, that's not Oz Fox playing that. That's Michael Sweet playing that one right there. Like, I just was completely shocked. But my point is, you guys get out there on stage and Robert rocks equally as hard as a Tommy Lee, for example, as far as like he's doing tricks and he's fun. He's the visual timekeeper, right? And
he is. He's the VT man for sure.
So I think you guys easily. I think it's one of those deals where once people see you play or actually hear the music, and just get past the whole thing of like, you know, okay, they're Christians. The songs are freaking good. You know, like,
well, man, thank you. You know, and you're right. I think it's getting past that.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why there's anything to get past.
Sure.
Yeah. I think it's getting past, or is it just once you accept it?
I guess it's just really weird. It's like, we're a rock band. Just come enjoy the music.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because
enjoy the show. And, you know, I appreciate you. The whole guitar, you tapped on the guitar playing thing. It's really interesting to me. I spent a lifetime trying to figure that one out. It's odd because I still to this day,
yeah,
I've got people come up to me after shows and they say, we had no idea you play guitar. And I say, to them very respectfully, I say, so you haven't seen any of the old videos?
Yeah, right.
And they say, oh, no. Yeah, of course I have. You know, Soldiers and Free and Calling on You. I said, well, did I have a guitar on?
Sometimes.
And they and they say, yeah, actually, you did. And I say, yeah, I play guitar on every song. And I've been a guitar player before I was a singer.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what it is, why everyone thinks Oz is the guitar player.
Yeah.
We're both guitar players. It's a two guitar player band, and it always has been. So, you know, it's a little frustrating for me because I work, I think, harder on my guitar playing than I do my vocals.
I could see that. I mean, for me, you know, as a fan, I'm serious. I'm in this. I am in that camp, and I'm, you know, I have literally been with you since 84. And I'm telling you right now, until I saw you guys, which is much later in life, I had no idea. I knew you did the harmony stuff, you know, the bing, 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 bing. I knew all of that. You guys did all that together. But see, to me, in the videos, you're behind the piano or you've got the mic stand and you're in the thing because, you know, I'm sure whoever the director was like, you sure need to be the lead singer. You know, yeah, you're going to be the voice of this band or whatever. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing. It's interesting that's the perspective of other people. Well, listen.
It is. And it's, you know, it would be one thing if it was just a few people, literally, yeah, like a lot of people. And, you know, not to take anything away from Oz. Oz is a great guitar player.
Yeah.
But, you know, so much, all of Stryper is based on two guitars.
Yes. Yeah.
And harmony. And, mm-hmm, if you're a guitar player, you'll get to the point where you know who's who.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you'll be able to hear that's Oz and you'll be able to hear that's right, Michael, just from hearing it. Cause we have very different styles.
Very true. It's like when you think back to, as you said earlier, Judas Priest, you know, you knew Glenn or KK, you knew which one was which easily just by
listening.
That's
what I'm saying. And Maiden, yeah, same thing. You know,
yeah,
who's Dave and who's Adrian. Uh-huh. And I compare Oz and I think Oz is more like the Dave.
Mm-hmm.
A little more technical and whammy bar wizardry and stuff, and I'm, yeah, a little more like Adrian in terms of like a lot of my solos, a little more vibrato and written in a way where you can almost sing them a little more. It's, yeah, a little different style, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we just have different styles of playing. Yeah.
Now it makes sense to me. Now, I mean, you know, again, going back and listening to it now, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I can figure all that. Well, let's talk about, you know, this is the Rockstar Dad Show, and I know we talked about this earlier. You're not a rock star, but
I don't feel like one ever.
I know, believe me. And you know, I know we don't feel, because I'm sure you're the same as me, man. I'm 51, and I just, when I say that out loud to people, I don't have a problem with it, but I'm just going, I mean, other than like my knees and my back hurting, like I swear I feel like I'm 24. All the time. Yeah. Like,
me too.
It's wild, right?
Yeah. Me, yeah, too. Mentally, I feel much younger, and in the heart, much younger. Physically, there's a few things popping up, like my eye issues and whatnot, that's making me feel like my age, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't feel like I'm almost 60 at all. I don't act it. That's darn true.
None of us do, right? Well, let's, yeah, talk about, you know, when you became a dad. You know, where were you career-wise? And first of all, how many kids do you have and what are their names?
I have two children. My son, Michael II, Michael Jr.,
mm-hmm,
Michael Harrison Sweet. He's 36 years old.
Okay.
I still call him Mikey.
Right.
To this day, we all call him Mikey, which is a little weird, but, yeah, you know, he'll always be Mikey to me. And then my daughter, Alina, she is 32 years old.
Yeah.
And they're both born in February, just, you know, a few days apart, a week apart, 4 years and a week apart. And, you know, those are my two children. And then, mm-hmm, Mikey has four children.
Wow.
So I'm a granddad four times. And we've got Knox, Nora, Owen, and Wesson.
That's beautiful. And do your kids live near you?
My son does not. He lives 2 hours away in Lyme, Connecticut. My daughter lives about 20 minutes away. So she's near. Yes.
That's not bad though. 2 hours in the United States of America is,
not too bad, but I mean, with, yeah, the grandkids, it makes it really difficult for us. We don't see them, but maybe every 3 or 4 months, if that.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's, you know, but if you were in England, you would literally go years because 2 hours might as well be another planet.
I know. Man. I can't even imagine that.
It's such a weird culture. But so just doing some quick math. I mean, I'm not really a mathematician, but let me just take this for a second. I'm going to say that your kids are born sort of before everything really started kicking for the band?
Like, my son was born in 87.
Yeah, okay, so no, so in the height of it. So we just had Steelheart on the other day, and like, and he was the same way. Like, his kids were born, and the band just, and you guys, 87 is about the time where, I mean, you guys are, that's huge for you.
That's what, that was the time when we went from clubs and the theaters into arenas overnight, from 86 to 87.
Yep, I remember.
And
very
it was a blur. It was insane. And I flew home. I was on the road. I flew home to be with Kyle, giving birth, and there were complications. And I stayed. I was able to hang around for a while. Then I had to fly right back out. Mm. Her mother flew out to help her with Mikey. And then I'd fly back home on a day off. A lot of flying home on days off, and then flying back that night. And just having a few hours home. It was insane.
I did that for many years, my friend. My kids were born in the height of our stuff. And I, it's funny, we talk about this a lot on this show, but, you know, Gary's younger than me. And Gary would be like, you know, you're flying home to be, you know, to be home for 14 hours? Like, that seems crazy. And now Gary is a dad. And now Gary flies home on days off, and I stay on the bus now.
You don't even think twice about it in the moment at all.
Yeah, you really don't. I mean, it's and you know, it's like you don't want to miss things, and so, I mean, and so did that change anything as far as like how much you were willing to tour, or was it because we have a lot of people say both. Like we have a lot of guys come on here and go, well, it really was a time for me to realize like this is when I can go out there and make it so that my family never has to worry about anything again. Or, no, I'm not going to sacrifice this time at home. Where did you land in that as far as, like, once that tour was over and you're home and you got this little baby at home?
Oh, well, man, I mean, I think having children started the process of me, of my departure from the band.
Yeah.
And you know, a number of other things led to that as well. Mm-hmm. Going back to our old roots and, you know, starting to go down pathways that I'd never wanted to go down again. And in 91, I left the band, almost 92, I left the band. And there was no looking back because when I left the band, I was able to focus on my kids.
Yeah.
You know, I baked cakes for school projects and walked them to school every day and walked them home from school every day because the school is right on our road. Mm-hmm. And took part in things going on at their schools. And it was really a special time. And I enjoyed every moment of it. And that was from late 91 to 94. Then I got back into music again and it became a whirlwind again.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just interesting. It's that tug of war of family versus what you do.
Yeah, it's so tough. And there's no right answer. You know, there's really not. You know, it's because, again, everybody makes their point. And, you know, it all really boils down to, you know, your relationship with your kids and your family. And you know, being there, I think, you know, when you need to be there so that they know that they can always count on you. And I think
exactly. And that's the main reason why I left the band.
Really?
Yeah, because my family, my priorities were all out of whack.
Yeah.
It was the band and all the debauchery that we were doing. Mm-hmm. And then my family and my faith, mm-hmm. my spiritual relationship with God, everything was taking the back seat. And I just woke up one morning and I said, this is bull crap. I'm going to put an end to this.
Right.
And I left the band. And, you know, I upset a lot of fans. They thought I was a bad guy and a jerk for doing so. But I think as time has gone on, a lot of people have healed. A lot of people know why I left and what my motives were, and they understand it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it, right? I mean, and especially back then. By the way, we're talking with Michael Sweet. Obviously, you guys know him as the lead singer and guitar player of the band Striper. And, you know, I think that's the interesting thing about that time, because, you know, the public knew what they got on MTV News at the time and what the magazine they read told them once a month. And that was what all was being decided was going to be put out there or whatever. And you really just had no voice to say to your fans, like, look, here's what's going on. I mean, because even if you put a press release out, who's going to print that? Why wouldn't they make you the bad guy so people read papers, right?
So true.
And it's so interesting now because, as you say, you know, people sort of coming around and realizing what was going on. And, you know, longtime fans, I'm sure. That's one of the benefits, I think, of social media, whereas a lot of us older guys see social media as being such, you know, like, oh, my God, this is, it's a whole nother aspect of the job that I never signed up for. But it really does allow you to be in direct communication with your fans. You can say stuff like that. You can say, look, here's the reason we canceled tonight's show. It's not because of this. It's because of this.
It does. It allows you to inform the fans, keep them engaged. And that's all great stuff. Unfortunately, it also allows idiots to have a voice.
100%. Yeah. And to say
really stupid stuff and to cause disagreements and fights and feuds and all that stuff. So yeah, there's the good and the bad side to it. And I do, to a degree, miss the old days of not having to deal with that. I miss the mystique of being in a band.
Yeah,
there was mystique before, and that added to the excitement of from a fan perspective. Mm-hmm. Of buying an album or seeing a show of the unknown. They know everything.
You're so right. And I talk about this quite often. And I use the exact same example every single time. Like, if I would have just seen a photo, somebody would have come up to me and been like, dude, you got to see this picture of what Nikki Sixx had for breakfast today. I would have been like, what? And I would have lost my mind. Now, if Nikki Sixx doesn't put a picture of his breakfast out on the internet, he's irrelevant, you know?
Or you don't care if you see another picture of Nikki Sixx having his breakfast. It's 100%. Like, yeah,
or we get numb to it, right? Now we walk into the room and Nikki Sixx walks in and you're like, oh yeah, that guy, here's what he had for breakfast. Let's carry on with our conversation. And you're so right. I honestly believe this. I think for you guys, it's the hardest. Because like I said, and Motley Crue, I think, did it the best. Maybe Kiss, I don't know. But as far as building up that mystique and that story and all of this stuff to where, like, you just wanted to know more and more and more, and you're just given these little tidbits here and here and here and here.
Yep.
Little tidbits, and it made you just ravenous for just more information. And
for sure, exactly. And that was special.
It was very special.
That made it that much more exciting and special. Again, the unknown. But, you know, now everybody knows pretty much everything. And I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I mean, I just think there's pros and cons. There's great, mm-hmm. great parts about having all this technology and the internet. And there's mm-hmm. really bad parts about it. And, you know, I love the great parts. I love being able to, you know, if I'm hanging out and I want to share something with the fans, I can just go live on Facebook and share.
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
It really is. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. But sadly, some people abuse that power and it becomes just a big, bleh, you know.
Also, though, being a dad and being a granddad on the road, how much easier has that been made by technology?
100%. Yes. Yeah. You can FaceTime and you can do a live Zoom with the kids mm-hmm. and you feel like you're spending time with them. Pretty awesome.
It's pretty amazing because even us, our biggest time was in the 2000 early 2000s and none of that existed, you know, and it was hard and
crazy.
Yeah, it's just absolutely crazy. What's the best part about being a grandpa? Is it that you can give them back?
You know what I love about being a grandfather is my grandkids don't see, at least yet, the flaws and imperfections in me.
Mm.
They just love me for who I am.
Mm.
And it's pretty, pretty cool.
What was your relationship with your kids, you know, growing up? And I mean, obviously, you know, I pretty much know the timing of that because you're exactly, my daughter was born the day we got nominated for a Grammy, if that tells you anything about, like, so that my daughter never knew, my sons have never known, like, me as like this guy that does this, but I'm always just dad.
Yeah. I mean, it came in cycles. Mm. So there were times, there was a year when I had no relationship with my kids.
Wow.
I didn't see them.
Wow. Was that when they were?
Then there were years, a few years where I saw them every day.
Were they older? Were they adults when you had the
Well, when I left the band, this was in 91, almost 92. So my son was born in 87. Mm-hmm. So he was almost four. Mm-hmm. And my daughter was being born.
Wow.
Was getting ready to be born. And then she was born. And then we moved back east. And then my daughter was, you know, growing up and everything. And that's when I really got to spend time with my kids. From 95 to 2000, for 5 years, I got to spend every day with my kids.
Yeah, right.
And it was amazing. And then music started taking off again. I started touring again in 01 and then 03 a lot. And then by 05, we were really touring a lot and doing music again and whatnot. And that's when I didn't spend a lot of time with my kids.
Yeah.
You know, around 03, from 03 on. And it's been like, you know, I'd be home for a month and then I'd be gone for 2 months.
Right. Were you able to navigate like resentments of you being gone and things like that fairly well?
You know, not as well as I would like. My relationship with my daughter is really, really strong. My relationship with my son is strong as well, but not as strong as I'd like it to be.
Right.
So in other words, I talk to my daughter every day. I don't talk to my son, but you know, maybe once every few months, right. If that, I'll text him and say, "Hey, Mike, what's up?" And I don't hear back from him. And that's not to take anything away from him. He's got a different life and life goes on. But I do think sometimes what happens in life is those frustrations that are subconscious, they start to surface and you may not even know it, you know?
A question that we end up asking a lot of dads that we have on the show is, you know, hey, you're a musician. Do your kids have any of the inclining? Are they following you? Do they have any of that talent? But I think you've got a unique, you know, story with your faith. Have you tried to raise them in the faith or in the church or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, growing up, 100%. But, you know, ultimately, people do what they want to do. I think my son and my daughter both have faith. But, you know, it's a different kind of faith than what I had when I was their age, if that makes any sense.
100%. Sure. Yeah.
You know, I know that they love God. I know they believe in God. Their mom was a devout Christian. Lisa is a devout Christian, you know, but we just, and I'll be honest with you guys, I'm really different in the sense that I think people expect me to say I go to church every Sunday and I read the Bible every day. I don't.
Yeah.
And sometimes that shocks people. I don't go to church every Sunday. I go to church when I can, but that's not very often. And it's very difficult. But, you know, church is where you are. A lot of times we have church on the bus. We'll go to the back of the bus or in the dressing room. We'll pray or we'll read the Bible. And to me, that is church. So, you know, it's people expect something from Michael Sweet and from Stryper, and it's not always the case. But that's not what determines my faith in Christ, if that makes any sense.
Sure. Nobody. And that, you know, again, there's as growing up Church of Christ or whatever, there's definitely nothing in the Bible that says you're supposed to go to the arena down the street where they're holding the mega church on Sundays or whatever, you know, like,
yeah. They're, I mean, I just feel like church, you know, it's important to have fellowship.
100%.
It's important to read the word. It's important to, that gives you strength to carry on, encouragement to carry on. But going to a building where there's, you know, 500 people or 1,000 people every Sunday and every Wednesday, you know, that isn't always healthy.
And it can be a beating for somebody like you who just wants to go there, you know, just to worship and just to be there, get your dose of goodness and that. And then it's the opposite of, you know, I mean, again, it's the whole, like, you putting yourself in that situation just takes away from why people are there in the first place.
For sure. And I guess what I'm saying is a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine who are Christians, if they miss church on a Sunday, they beat themselves up so much. There's so much guilt, like, oh, man, I missed church. And I say to them, you know, church, you could have just opened your Bible at your home,
right,
said a prayer and spent some quality time with God, private time with God, and it probably would have been better than going to the building down the street. And my point is, don't beat yourself up so much if you do miss church on occasion. I miss it a lot. And I'm not recommending to people to not go to church. I'm just saying, you know, it's okay if you miss church sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Sweet, Striper, lots going on with you guys. You know, as we start to close out here, tell us what's happening right now.
Oh, man. Well, I've got the Sweet Lynch album coming out.
Mm-hmm.
With the infamous one and only George Lynch, one of my favorites.
Wow.
It's the third album. It's called Heart and Sacrifice. And it's a great album. It's a little more eclectic in the sense that there's some songs that are straight out Dawkins-ish in style. Then there's some songs that are a little more modern, tuned down, a little heavier. We had a really good time making it. I'm excited for fans to hear it. Striper tour coming up. Started in May. I've got an inspirational album that's finally going to see the light of day. We're going to start taking pre-orders on that. That's really cool. And then we've got an acoustic album that's coming out this year, Striper. And then I've got another album coming out in October. That's me and Alessandro Del Vecchio. And it's very Journey-ish.
Wow.
Got a more of a Journey vibe to it. It's something different for me, not a metal album. So there's a lot going on this year, man.
A lot of things your voice can do. I don't think anybody, it's pretty, you know, I remember hearing, you know, when you were going to sing for Boston, and I just remember going, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. You know, like it's, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that fits perfectly. I get it. You know,
it was crazy, man. And you know, I thank God Tom allowed me to just do what I do.
Yeah.
He didn't expect me to try to sound like Brad or hit every note like Brad. And I got to just be Michael Sweet in Boston. And that was really, really incredible and a blessing for me. So, yeah, that was wild. It was a very short little run,
yeah,
a little bleep on the radar. But that was incredible times. And Boston was such a big influence of mine and a band that shaped me as a musician.
Right. Sure. I mean, all of it. When people talk, it's funny, you know, that vinyl is back, obviously. And when we talk about, you know, being kids and just sitting and staring at album covers all of the time, I remember staring at that Boston album cover for days and days and days. And I mean, I wouldn't even be listening to that. I'd be listening to something else and staring at that thing. You know, it just, that's one of the images that comes
to
mind.
So cool. I mean, there was something to be said for vinyl. And now it's great. But something more special then, yeah. Because it was a vinyl world, right?
Right, yeah.
And you could get it and open it and look at it and listen to it and then smell it. I don't know if you ever did that.
100%. Absolutely.
Smell the vinyl. It was like, man, I love the smell of this.
It's just amazing.
And it was such a cool time. Amazing.
And To Hell with the Devil was no slouch. That had two different covers, right? There was the one with you guys, you know, obviously in battle. And then did you have to re-release it as like with just a black cover or you chose?
We did not. We chose to, because we were getting so much flack from Christian bookstores who said, we're not going to carry it.
Ah, that makes sense.
A pentagram on there. And yeah. It was a pentagram necklace being ripped from Satan's neck and cast away by one of the angels.
Sure.
And they had a problem with that. So we just felt like, you know, let's change it. So they will carry the album, because, you know, a third of our albums back in the day were carried and sold by Christian bookstores and chain.
Yeah, right.
So we changed it. Did we have to? No, but we chose to.
Did you do shows with those bands? Like after you guys, obviously pioneers, as I said earlier, but you know, years later, you know, there was like heavy bands like Believer that came around or whatever.
Sure.
And what's the one I'm trying to think of? The other
You're talking about Christian bands?
Yeah, Christian bands.
Well, you know, Bride came on the scene a little after us. They were heavier in a different sense.
Baron Cross was
really those. Heavy bands. Are you thinking of bands like Mortification?
Yeah, those kind of things. I mean,
there was a Tourniquet.
Yeah.
Yeah, a number of really heavy bands that started coming on the scene after us. We played with a few of them. over the years, but we went out of our way to not play with Christian bands.
That makes sense. To stay in the...
Our calling was we grew up in clubs and bars, and we wanted to continue down that path. And we felt like, you know, we're going to reach more people in a bar than we're going to reach in a church.
Makes sense. Stay in your lane, so to speak.
Yeah. You know? That's what we did. And that's what we've always done. That's why we go out and play with Priest and Kiss and all these other bands, because that's what we do. When we can go on and play to their audience, mm-hmm. and people hear Jesus is the way, you know, right. And it's like, that's pretty mind blowing.
Right. Yeah. MichaelSweet.com, Striper.com, you can find all of that stuff there. And you guys are active on social media and Facebook. You guys are really good to your fans. If you're a member of their Patreon, you get to spend some time with me and Striper here in about a week. We're going to do a real fun 80s trivia night, and I'm looking forward to that. Michael Sweet, dude, it is so nice to finally, actually, we've texted for years.
I know.
And it's nice to finally to see your face and have a conversation. And man, you're just awesome.
Well, brother, thank you, man. That's very kind of you. Maybe one of these days we'll get together and write some music.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, and I'm looking forward to this trivia thing. And I'm either going to get everything wrong or I'm going to get everything right.
Well, you get to pick a teammate, but I'm not going to put you with your brother because I don't think that's fair. That you guys grew up together. So we'll figure
it
out.
I'll probably pick Perry. Perry's pretty knowledgeable.
Perry. Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes. Thanks for listening to the Rockstar Dad Show. Please check out our brother podcast, Dadcast, wherever you listen. And we'll see y'all next time. Y'all be good.
This is a song for my friends, Jared and Gary. They started a podcast and said a theme was necessary. They're just a couple of guys in a band that you know. Some rock star dads who started a show. Until the next episode.